Hey, all. Before you hear this episode, just know that we used the wrong SD card.
It's my fault.
It's Ezra's fault. So if you were here in the early days of us recording together, then you remember we had the issue of like some of the audio skipping, like a record. We do have that problem this episode. I tried to edit around it, but it's just, if I edited it all, we wouldn't have had an episode. So, I apologize for that. Also, we were trying to get through this episode with no cuts. And for some reason, that means that I'm speaking and acting like I'm on cocaine. I'm speaking so fast. I apologize. If this is your first episode of this podcast, this is not our best moment. But if you're a longtime listener, thank you for putting up with us. Anything else to say, honey?
No, my bad, everybody. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm gonna order a new SD card right now.
I think this is a lesson in throwing things away. Okay. Have fun with the episode. Bye bye. Should we open up our relationship?
You know, we keep joking about it. Maybe today's the day we pull the trigger.
Maybe today's the day we pull the trigger. I mean, if you're... Dylan made such a case for it.
He sure did. He was like, my freedom is important to me.
Insane.
The writers of this clearly understood like the motives behind polyamory.
Yeah. The year is 2004. We are just now understanding open relationships.
Yeah.
And... Dylan's not a problematic example of this at all.
No, guy who cheats on his boyfriend and then is like, no, I just thought we were open.
Let's just be open.
Yeah, no, that was bad.
That was so bad.
That was really bad.
That works as a cold open, actually.
Yeah, and just if you're
a cold
listening,
open relationship.
And just to anyone listening, if you do want to join our throuple, just email.
Yeah, yeah.
Hello, hello, and welcome to one of our recap episodes where we go absolutely cuckoo bananas watching Degrassi The Next Generation from beginning to end. I'm your host, Keely Bell, and join me every other week with Ezra Parter as we watch these characters do whatever it takes and make it through.
Welcome back to Cuckoo Bananas! Exclamation point, a Degrassi colon, The Next Generation podcast. Ooh. I'm your host, Keely Bell.
And my name's Ezra Parter, here also.
You sang that intro with me, mm-hmm. And it reminded me of how good of a job you did at karaoke last night.
Oh, thank you. I was just trying to keep up with you. It was amazing.
Thank you. I got many compliments.
Yeah, and you deserved every single one.
Thank you. No. I like to have fun.
I mean, yeah, that's what the song Pink Pony Club is all about.
Exactly.
And you crushed it.
Pink Club. My big mistake with karaoke is literally always the first chorus hits and I start dancing too hard. So then by the time the second verse hits, I'm way out of breath.
Mm-hmm. And I don't dance, but still by the time the second verse hits, I'm way out of breath.
Karaoke is like fun, but it's also like nerve-wracking in that way. Because mm-hmm. I found like, you know, as a person who sings as more than just like karaoke, as someone who sings as a hobby.
Yeah.
Like I find that I sing way better when I'm relaxed, mm-hmm. but I'm never relaxed at karaoke. I'm always like scared that people are like judging me. Mm-hmm. And so when I go up there, I'm way worse than I ever am in like a show or like a concert or anything.
Yeah, same. I don't really sing in shows or concerts at all. I've never done that, but I am extremely nervous at karaoke. I don't do it very often, mm-hmm. but we were at a friend's house for a birthday party, mm-hmm. so that was a safe environment for me to do it. And
it was a safe environment.
It was truly like a karaoke club or a bar or whatever. I'm like, this is not for me.
Mm-hmm.
No, this is for sad old men who want to sing really weird metal songs. But yeah, it was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
You know, I have my go-to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. I didn't do either of my go-tos.
No.
The ones that I did were pretty solid.
Yeah,
pretty
you
solid.
Should make them go-tos.
Yeah,
Pink
you
Pony
and
Club
I...
Specifically, you like, that is your vocal song.
Thank
like,
you.
You crushed that.
Aww. I don't think I sound that good on it, but thank you.
What?
I sounded really good on the Lady Gaga one.
You did. Yeah. I don't know the name of it, but it was good.
It's You and I by Lady Gaga. The listeners know.
Oh.
The listeners are cooler than you.
They know without even knowing what song it was, what you sang?
No, I just said You and I by Lady Gaga.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, they know the name. Yeah. I know it now that you said it.
Yeah.
I, of course, sang Before He Cheats by Carrie Underwood.
So good. And it's like weirdly in your range.
It really is.
Like, you are a large person, but yeah, you're a tenor.
Yeah.
And I think that's so cute.
Thank you.
The fact that I'm, look, musical theater girls everywhere, you can get a tenor too. We all want the tenors. We all want the tenors, and we're all, and they always break our hearts.
Mm.
Get one who doesn't really sing, but is still a tenor.
Get you a tenor outside the community.
Mm-hmm. Get you a tenor outside the community, and you can do it.
And look, comedians just we're tenors by nature.
No.
Oh, okay.
Think of what is that man? Dan. Think of Dan.
Oh yeah. Well,
he's definitely not a tenor.
No, but he is an outlier.
Okay, I'm trying to think of other.
There's no one else on earth with a voice like Dan.
That's
Lippert's.
Very true.
Go listen to the Teacher's Lounge podcast, everyone. And Todd Padre is who we're talking about.
I would say out of your friends, mm-hmm, the ones who I know, who I've heard sing, mm-hmm, Andreas is a tenor.
Definitely.
Asan is maybe a baritone.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think he can go low and he can go high.
Yeah. You know, today Andres was asking Asan if he ever sings while he DJs, and he was like, no, of course not.
What a weird thing to do.
Yeah, it's really
funny. Grab the mic.
Can you imagine a DJ just like, this one's my jam, and taking the mic?
That's crazy.
Yeah, I want to write that sketch now.
That's really funny. Like a DJ who just treats DJing like his own personal karaoke.
Yeah.
That's really funny. But yeah, other than that, what have we been up to? We have our birthday party tomorrow.
We do.
It's exciting. Yeah. We're recording this on Saturday, mm-hmm, and our birthday party's on Sunday. Mm-hmm. What else? That's kind of it.
Yeah.
You had your first Herald back with Headbutt.
Season 2 Herald night. It was good. Mm-hmm. We got pretty solid reviews from the audience. Pretty mm-hmm good notes from our coach, mm-hmm, who did not like the show as much as the audience did. Mm-hmm. But that's okay. They were good notes. It was accurate. I understand. Good comedy show, bad Herald.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it was a good time, and I'm thrilled to get to be back on stage with these people. It was really luck. It's, you know, it's luck, and it's, we worked hard.
You're a great team.
Thank you.
Like,
thank
you just, you guys work so well together. And other than that, me, what have I been up to? Nothing.
Just casually choreographing a show.
Yeah, just choreographing a show. Having a mental breakdown.
Well, yeah, but that's normal.
That's very normal.
We get one of those a week.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But yeah, other than that, we're pretty solid, pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to try and do this episode with no edits today.
Yes.
Let's see how we do.
Which means I can't say things that are inappropriate.
Mm-hmm. If you're a listener who has I was going to say an eagle eye, but it has to be an ear for a podcast. If you have an eagle ear like I do for when edits happen in a podcast.
They're all my fault.
Yeah. And also like today specifically, like see if you can pick out any. If there were any, and you can mm-hmm call us out for being liars or not.
Mm-hmm. We're going to make it.
I think we're going to make it too. Peace. Me and Daniel have tried to do this before and we failed.
Oh, really? Mm. It's a hard thing to do.
It's a very hard thing to do.
Even if you're like on your game and you never say anything bad, you might at some point be like,
yeah. Yeah. Or like you just kind of like how I'm always like, okay, time to read the next, what's the next episode about? And then I spend 2 minutes searching up what the episode is.
Yeah, that's right.
I have to cut that out every single episode.
Did you pre-cue it up this time?
No, but it's in my brain.
Okay.
I know it. Okay. So today, actually, I do need to look up what the episode number was, but I have it right here. It is queued up. Okay.
Nice.
Okay. Today we watched, it's Saturday afternoon, we watched Degrassi season 4, episode 19, Moonlight Desires. Now that we know what the episode's about, what about that title, though?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Is it? I mean, I think it's about, like, the title implies, I don't know, the title only connects to what happened in the episode. If you're like, yeah, cheating on your partner.
Yeah.
Moonlight Desire. Dylan's
Moonlight Desires.
Yeah.
Or maybe his Moonlight Desires is having an open relationship.
Yeah, I guess
like,
so.
Like, at nighttime, he's like, I desire.
During the day, I'm monogamous, but at night when the moon comes out, I'm a were-whore.
Yeah. Wait, that's a concept. I don't know for what.
Yeah, I'm. I know based on one of my last sketch pitches that I definitely can't pitch that to my team. That word is off limits. But
try a different word. Can't be where sluts.
Werewolf is just so good. It for is. Werewolf,
it
though.
Is funny. It
maybe
is
it'll
funny
work in that context.
Well, maybe if it were a man.
Yeah. Yeah. That yeah. would help. And that is what I was picturing, so that works.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway. Yeah, Dylan's a were-whore. And that's the Moonlight Desire. Mm-hmm. But do you remember your what is that? Not your pitch, your prediction.
Prediction? Yeah, I think I predicted that Marco would have to, like, tell his dad or something, or his dad was gonna catch. I definitely did a lot of his dad's.
Yeah,
I did a lot of impersonating his dad. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember the context of why.
I think you did say that his dad was gonna catch him and Dylan doing something.
Yeah,
I think that might have been your joke prediction, but it wasn't very much of a joke. And then you ended up doing another serious one. Like, both of them were fairly, like, realistic plot lines, but I don't remember exactly what they were.
If I remember correctly, it was Dylan and Marco start a cruise ship company for gays, and Dylan's dad or Marco's dad, like, accidentally books a trip on it, and then catches Marco and Dylan just fully doing it in the pool.
No, that it was not your prediction.
Oh, really? That's weird. I could have sworn I said that.
You've taken to doing a third prediction at the start of episodes. And while I love imagining things and I love fan fiction, we cannot do this.
Okay, I won't do it every time.
Yeah, do it only when you have a really good one.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, that was okay. But how did you just...
Surprised by was an interesting side-by-side. And unfortunately, when I say interesting in this case, I'm like, you're kind of reinforcing the stereotype. Not
interesting.
Fighting it.
Yeah.
Which, you know, to be clear, just, and I'm sure the listener already knows what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But, to have the gay people should be allowed to donate blood because they're not necessarily any more likely to have HIV than anyone else. And also, we're going to have a gay guy who wants to cheat on his partner.
Yeah. Who wants to open up their relationship.
Open up the relationship.
And cheat on his partner in a way that maybe he's being responsible, but Marco doesn't know that.
Yeah.
So it's like Dylan could very well be opening Marco up to
HIV.
HIV.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Or anything.
And again, like, yes, it is not inherently because he's a cheater. Right. But also they're like, no, but this gay relationship is the one we're going to use as an example for this.
Yeah.
Which sucks.
I'd never considered that until you said it. And yeah, you're 100% correct.
Yeah.
That's insane that they would do that. When I looked up the episode last week to get an idea of what the plot was, would you believe that the thing that I read was not at all about the blood drive?
Really?
It was just about Dylan wanting to open up his and Marco's relationship. And I always forget that these two plots are together. I thought the blood drive happens in season 5 for some reason.
Really? No, the blood drive is like the crux of the episode.
Yeah.
That's wild.
The description was like, Dylan wants to open up his and Marco's relationship. Spinner and Jay have a wacky little time.
Oh God, I hated all that.
Oh, really? I kind of loved it.
I just can't. Jay is a voice of...
Get into it. But like, I think it three-dimensionalizes his character.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's not something he wouldn't have said. I believe that this is a humanizing moment for Jay.
I agree with that. I didn't find it to be in line with the Jay that we've known.
You just don't want to like Jay.
I don't like Jay.
Yeah. So let's get started with the episode. So we open up the episode. Degrassi's getting ready for a blood drive. And Marco reveals his plans to his friends, Ellie, who is sporting a nice little side part suddenly. Did you notice?
Absolutely not.
She has had a middle part all the time up until this episode where suddenly she's parting her hair to the side.
I did notice her hair was different, but I could not have told you how.
I don't think it looks very good this way. She has a side part like later in the series, but like this, the way it's kind of like straight and like it just looks, it looks weird. Like they're still like settling into how it should look. But he's talking to Alex and Ellie and Craig about how he wants to go to summer school, get some credits, so he can graduate early in the, I'm assuming, winter of the fall of their senior year, and then move in with Dylan before he goes to university.
Yeah.
And
he says all this while wearing braces. So yeah. I'm like, dude, you're too young to move in with your boyfriend.
And Craig and Ellie are immediately like, whoa, what the fuck? Like, who is this person? And why are you doing this to us?
Ellie's like, you're going to leave and graduate early. And Dylan's like, you're going to move in
Craig.
With... What did I say?
You said Dylan.
Oh, sorry. Craig is like, you're going to move in with Dylan? And Marco's like, yeah, both those things are normal and good. And
he's
like, no, they're not.
Well, Ellie couldn't be the one to say you're going to move in with your boyfriend because she already did that.
Yeah, that's true. And look how that turned out.
And look how that turned out.
Pretty good all around.
Yeah. Except.
No.
So then the opening credits happen. We come back and Dylan drops Marco off at school. Did you suspect that anything fishy was going to go on with their relationship in that scene?
It was just weird.
It was just establishing that there's a party that night.
Yeah, it was establishing that there's a party that night, but also like the delivery was so weird. The Dylan, he's like, okay, goodbye. And Marco's like, well, okay, you just go back to your dorm room. And it's like, why are we saying that?
To remind the audience that Dylan is in college.
Yeah, but
he's a big grown up in college.
We already established that, and he's driving not a high school car. So, yeah. Where does Dylan? Is Dylan taking illegal sponsorship money as a hockey player for college? Because maybe. He's got a nice ass car.
No, he got that car from his parents last season.
Oh, right, Michael Chuxer money.
Either last season or early this season. No, it was last season.
I don't remember.
It was because it's the same car as when he first took Marco out on that date where Marco was allergic to bees.
Right. Yeah. And that's why the bee callback.
Yeah. Happened. And I think Dylan was in high school at that point.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Maybe the college bribed him to go there with the car, though.
Maybe.
I'm pretty sure this is an NCAA violation. And I know they're in Canada. But let me go with it.
So then at the blood drive, Caitlin's interviewing people. Remember when you were like, when is Caitlin going to work again?
Yeah, I do.
Well, we got to see her work.
Yeah.
Yay.
Let me tell you, she was working.
She was working. She was working, mama. Slay.
More like Slaitlin.
Yeah, that's the only. She's interviewing people at the blood drive. Oh, also, Spike is giving blood, and her one line in this episode is,
it's like breastfeeding but with blood.
No, it's like breastfeeding out of your arm. Ew.
Right, it's so much worse.
Have you never like had blood drawn before, Spike?
So why do you have a blood nipple on your arm?
Yeah. Spike, should we question your anatomy a little bit?
Or maybe it's that she doesn't have nipples on her
She has
breasts,
to breastfeed so. With like a catheter of some sort.
Yeah, she has a milk catheter.
A milk catheter. Do those? I'm sure those exist for like cows, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, no.
No?
I grew up in Wisconsin, so I've been to a lot of dairy farms.
You know cows.
No, truly. Like they took us regularly to dairy science places and to farms as like field trips. And at least back in the mid-90s, early 2000s, the science was udder pumps.
Udder pumps.
Not like stents.
Yeah. Okay, well, that makes sense.
I was going to say titty pumps, but then I censored myself.
No, thank you.
You're
but
welcome.
You could have, I would have left in titty pumps.
I know, and now you will this way.
Yeah.
I got it in. I backdoored it in. You never backdoor a titty pump, but I did.
We're unhinged because we're trying to get through this no cuts.
That's right.
And we're not relaxed.
I know
at
that
all.
I have a little bit more leeway because you don't want to do cuts, but I'm trying not to go too far.
Uh-huh. So then we go to the dot and Jay is there and he's like getting served by Spinner, and Spinner's like, if I have to serve you for the next 10 years, kill me or something like that.
Yeah,
which
I'm
is
still
funny.
Serving you in 10 years, kill me.
And then I like kind of did like the math on it, and he does not continue serving Jay for 10 years.
Oh no.
But it is pretty long, which I find funny.
Wait, there's 10 more years of Jay?
No, it's not 10 years. That's why I said it's
he's
not 10 years.
He's still going to be on the show in his 50s?
Maybe. Ugh. You never know.
Poor Jay.
So Jay's mad that they got expelled. Spinner's mad that they got expelled. Mm-hmm. They're both just angry at each other. Mm-hmm. Their relationship, I do love. Like, it's so antagonistic, but also they're friends. Like, and Jay's kind of similar with Sean, where it's like Jay sucks and they know it, but like, because they're these like outcasts, these like poor guys, these troubled boys, like he knows that they have some sort of loyalty to him, mm-hmm. and he's never like, he's too confident. He's so cocky. He's like, you're not gonna leave me. Like, you're my friend. I'm your friend. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really kind of like, when you really like look at that, that's kind of a cute dynamic.
Yeah.
Like, it's a bad guy, but one of his humanizing elements is that he just really loves his friends.
Yeah, in a way. I mean, it's also kind of like he's Emperor Palpatine, and he's like, you've turned to the dark side, you're stuck with me, and you can never leave. Too. But then eventually they do find the light again, like Vader, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I just hope somebody throws Jay down a chasm. Mm. And he cackles it to death, mm-hmm. like the Emperor.
Mm-hmm. I could see that, actually. Mm-hmm. So then Spinner goes over to these old lady customers. And I think what they're trying to establish here is that the morning shift at the Dot sucks.
Yeah. Because these old women are, I mean, they're just trying to have book club, but they're also trying to do it with proper help.
With lemon in their water and with their dogs.
Yeah. Breaking a dog into a restaurant that doesn't allow dogs, you're a bad person.
You're a bad person.
You're a bad person. I'm sorry. Like, love your dog all you want, but you can't do that.
On TikTok, I told you about the woman whose dog pissed on the fish sticks in Trader Joe's. Yeah. And then Trader Joe's everywhere responded. You know, their little like chalkboards outside the market. It's like, service animals welcome, not emotional support animals who will piss on our fish sticks. Please leave those dogs at home.
Wow. That's very funny. I didn't know that.
Very funny. And that woman has like ghosted the internet. Mm. I went looking for her to see if she said anything about the controversy, and she has disappeared.
That's the right thing to do. She was fully in the wrong.
So then we go back to the school, and the blood drive is happening, and Marco is about to give blood because Caitlin wants to get a shot of him because he's the school president. She's like, oh, he's the guy who organized this whole thing. Mm-hmm. We got to see him give blood.
Yeah. And Miss Hatzilakos has just been like, yeah, this is all Marco. Like, praise me for being principal all you want, but Marco did this.
Yeah.
So she's like, we got to see a shot of the hero giving blood at his own blood drive.
Yep. And then he is about to give blood, and the nurse comes over and she's like, oh, Marco, can I talk to you for a second? Can we cut the cameras? And Caitlin's like, oh, we're not trying to like shoot the actual like blood giving, just, you know, him getting ready or whatever. And she's like, cut the fucking cameras, bitch. That nurse she's intense.
Honestly, that was my favorite acting performance on.
She was so good.
On Degrassi in a while.
Yeah.
Like, she rocked.
She was really good.
Yeah.
And so she brings the clipboard over to Marco where he had filled out the forms, and she's like, you answered yes to one of these questions. And he's like, okay, yeah, it's the question that I've had sex with another man.
Every episode I say I try not to criticize the acting, and then do criticize the acting, and I'm gonna do that again.
Okay.
his delivery on this is like, the one where I said that I have meh. It's like, you already know it's a problem before you started saying it. Like, not that having sex with women is a problem, but there's an issue there.
The conflict is.
It's like, there was no moment of realization. It was like going into it with, no, you know what I mean?
No, because here's how I saw it happen. Okay. She hands him the clipboard and he's like, what? I answered this truthfully. He looks down at the clipboard. He reads the thing and it says, have you ever had sex with another man? Mm-hmm. And then he goes, yeah, it's the question where I had, and he's a teenager, so he doesn't want to say sex to an adult. He goes, I had, and then he realizes what happened and he goes, with another man.
Okay, I guess so, but the delivery of it made it was like so drawn out. I had a problem with it.
Adamo is not the best.
He's been fine generally. I nitpick everyone, but this was one where I really didn't.
Yeah.
And it's on the director too, because I've seen him do better.
Yeah, so, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So that opens up our big conflict of the A plot. And so then B plot, Spinner, who has been fed up by those women at the Dot, he's like, I can't handle these dogs in my restaurant anymore. These women demanding their lemon water. I'm going to come to Miss Hatzilakos' office with semi-dead flowers. Where'd he get them?
He must have just picked them up off the counter at the Dot. Because,
or like
they,
or they were dug them out of the ground.
He wandered into the school. He first saw, before he got to the office, he saw that there were some flowers on Snake's desk, and he was like, "I'm just gonna take a few of these."
Oh, I didn't even. Oh, you assumed that.
Yeah, he's like, "I'm just gonna take a few of these." So he grabbed a few, but he left some of the flowers in the on Snake's desk because he didn't want to be too.
Yeah,
rude.
It was two. It was like two yellow sunflowers or something like that.
Yeah,
it's very silly. And he's trying to apologize for the reason he got expelled.
Sort of.
Because he's
going in there like, hey, I just want to let you know, like, I'm still studying for the tests that I'm obviously allowed to take. And she's like, no, you got expelled, dude.
Yeah,
you didn't get, like, suspended. You got expelled. You don't go here.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, what? But if I... Then I can't graduate next year. And she's like, yeah.
Yeah, that's called the consequences of your actions. And she's willing to offer him summer school. Mm-hmm. And he's like, but that's only going to give me like 2 credits. I won't be able to graduate. And she's like, them's the breaks, kid. Like,
and he's like, that's not fair. And she's like, yeah, someone died because of you.
Yeah.
That's also not fair, remember?
And so then he's so mad, he throws her flowers in the trash. Yeah.
And she's like, good, that's literally what I was going to do.
It was trash anyway. Yeah. And then he storms out the gym. And Marco is so mad about the homophobia. Mm-hmm. He tells Caitlin to report on it. He's also trying to call Dylan, but Dylan's not answering. And Caitlin, and so he's like, why don't you report on this? How about kid gets homophobia'd at his school's blood drive? And Caitlin's like, turn on the cameras, dude. Let's go. Because as we know, Caitlin is a good woman who is a very ethical journalist, but also she loves a little bit of drama.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And specifically around blood donation issues. This is what she went to Africa for.
Yeah. Yeah. This is what she went to Africa for, to study about HIV and report on it. Also, just a random realization I had. Her hair is back to the way it was in season one. Mm-hmm. I forgot about that. Because in season one, she was blonde, though. Oh, no. She was the platinum blonde right at the start of season one.
Yeah.
And now she's
But now it's short again. Like,
yeah, it's short again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same cut, different color.
Lots of hair.
I don't know why I didn't clock anything about Ellie's hair, but I fully understood this one.
Well, because Caitlin is, one, hot.
Oh, yeah.
Two, we love her.
Yeah.
Three, both of those things combined. and so Marco is talking into her microphone and he's like, a kid at this school got rejected to donate blood because of his sexuality. And then we see the nurse behind him. And she gives, like you said, the best performance of the episode.
Totally.
The look on her face is like, this fucking kid, he's gonna get me fired. Mm-hmm. She turns around, she's like, ah, that's not what we said. And
that
he's like,
not why.
Oh, then what? And she's like, well, people who are in the gay community have a higher risk of HIV infection. And Marco's like, literally no. Anyone with a pulse can get HIV, and you guys test the blood anyway. Like, that's the part that's really fucking annoying.
It's so stupid.
And like Daniel and I have talked about this so many times. It's just like infuriating. It's like, we can acknowledge that, one, anyone can get HIV. Two, they test the blood when they donate blood anyway. Mm-hmm. They test it for everybody. And yet, it's literally just a reason to be like, you're not a human.
Yeah.
Just never changed it.
They have changed it, but yes.
They changed it? Gay people can give blood now?
Yeah.
In the year of our Lord 2024?
Yeah.
Well, good for them. Mm-hmm. I'm happy for them.
I feel like it's a very recent change. It might have been like 2 years ago.
Okay.
I don't know. But
well,
yes,
cool.
It was changed.
Good.
Yeah.
You hear that, gay people? Now you don't have an excuse.
Now you're just like me. You don't give blood because it kind of scares you.
Yeah. And you're not like me because I don't give blood because I'm borderline anemic. then Falcus is like, just be proud, Marco. You did this. Look at it. Everyone's giving so much blood because of you. And he's like,
you don't understand. The point was for me to be just one of them. And I thought that was a crazy read, too. But,
no, I liked it. Point of it was for me to be one of them, to be able to give the blood, just like everyone else.
No, totally. Yeah, but the point of it was not that. The point of the blood drive was certainly not for you to get to do that.
That's very true. The point was so that people get blood to save their life.
Yeah, that's why I was like, no, Marco, that's not the point. It is wrong that you're not allowed to, for sure, but that wasn't the point.
So then Spinner is leaving the school, and this is the funniest part. Jay is trying to steal a bike, and then he goes and like kicks it because he can't get it unlocked. And Spinner's like, hey, "That's or he, he's
Spinner's
like,
hey man,
hey and man," and he's like, Jay's "You like, want to kick too?"
Yeah. And Spinner's like, "No, dude, that's my bike.
That's my bike."
That was very funny.
It was so funny. And Jay's like, "Well, if you hadn't gotten us expelled, I wouldn't be this bored. I have to steal bikes.
You're stealing bikes because you're bored, Jay." God, I hate you. And get a job. You're old.
Yeah, truly. Like, why doesn't Jay have a job?
Yeah.
And Spinner's like, oh, well, don't steal from me. Steal from the people that did this to us.
The school.
Degrassi.
And they were standing in front of a school bus, and I 100% thought, like, they're going to steal a school bus.
School bus joyride.
I mean, that would have been very cool.
Now, this happens in a season that I do not think we're going to get to, but what if I told you that on this show, Jay does get to drive a school bus at some point?
If Jay comes back as a school bus driver to Degrassi, I will be so mad.
He does not.
Okay.
But there is a point in this series where Jay gets to drive a school bus.
If Jay rescues a busload of children after a bus driver has a heart attack, I will be so mad.
That's also not what happens. I don't think you would ever in 1,000 years be able to guess what the plot is that makes Jay drive a school bus.
If Jay finds himself in a crank situation where there's a bomb in his heart that'll go off if he doesn't have keep his heart rate high enough and he has to race around, that'd be so cool.
That would be very cool. So then Marco.
They'd call him Jason Statham.
Yeah, there it is.
I guess we do need an edit.
Nope, you're fine. It's fine. So then Marco goes to Dylan's dorm. And it was just the way it was shot, wasn't it?
Oh, 100% knew exactly what was happening.
You see a person, especially in a college dorm.
Yeah.
You see a person coming down a hallway. They're about to enter their partner's dorm room just to talk to him. You know what's about to happen.
There's no reason anyone shoots opening the door to somebody's dorm to go, like, you're not going to hang out and we see the entrance. It doesn't happen.
Yep.
The door told me cheating.
Yep. Yep. He opens up the door and Dylan is making out on his bed with Eric.
Mm-hmm.
Eric.
And Marco's sad and he leaves and Dylan comes out and he's like, what? I meant to tell you about Eric. It's like, wait, that is not the issue.
And Marco's like, there are better ways to break up with people, Dylan. And Dylan's like, who's breaking up? This I love Dylan up until this episode. I like Dylan so much. He's such a normal guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's so normal until this episode where he might be a sociopath.
Oh, 100% sociopathic.
I think he's a sociopath.
Yeah.
The way he smiled throughout this entire thing is insane. I just want to open things up, Marco. Like, I'm in college now. There's so many interesting people. Notice he said people, not men.
Yeah.
Dylan, are you bisexual?
Hey, I'm for that.
I'm for that. He's
but
hot.
Regardless, you have to tell your partner before you cheat on them that you want to open things up or you're cheating on them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's why we had that conversation from day one.
where you were like, okay, tomorrow I am going to hook up with someone else. And you have to be okay with that. And I was like, all right, bet.
And then I didn't, because I could never do better than Keely. But, no, I just mean I can't.
Thank you. I also would never, unless we agreed on it.
Of course.
Beforehand.
Yeah.
So then Marco is like, this is insane. You might be a sociopath. I'm leaving. He didn't say that. I wish he did.
No, he should have, because like if Dylan took 1 minute to be like, wait, am I a sociopath? Then maybe his behavior would change.
Mm-hmm.
But probably not because he is a sociopath.
Yep, exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. I'm like, well, if he were truly a sociopath, he wouldn't see anything wrong with what he just did. and so then Marco comes back to school, and this was really funny. He's on the phone with Ellie talking about, like, he wants to open up our relationship, and literally, like, two steps that we see him take, he has already been... He walks up to his friends who he's been on the phone with Ellie, and they both hang up.
Yeah, it was really funny.
It was such a weird... That kind of stuff never happens on Degrassi. It was such a weird comedy moment.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm. And the whole scene after it is so funny, too. Where Marco is like, it's like a gay thing. And then Alex is like, it's not a gay thing. My boyfriend hooked up with every girl in this school and gave me gonorrhea. It's a guy thing. And then Craig goes, what did he accuse Alex of?
Didn't you beat up that one girl for being just as trampy? It's kind of a person thing.
And then Ellie goes, oh, wait, maybe you should ask Ash that, Craig. Or wait, are you still with Manny? Got him. And then he goes, okay, let's just call it a person thing. So good. Also, funny. The listener knows what I mean. Funny that happened. So then...
I also thought it was funny.
No, I mean, just the listener knows.
I understand you're implying something, but...
Yeah.
Regardless, I found it funny too.
No, yeah. It was a funny scene. Mm-hmm. But that particular exchange is funny for another reason.
Because eventually Craig hooks up with Ellie, cheating on both Ashley and Manny at the same time.
Maybe. I don't know.
During a crank situation?
No.
Where he had to keep his heart pumping?
Crank?
And then they called him... Craigson Statham.
There are no crank situations on Degrassi.
That's such a letdown.
And watch, somebody's gonna like message me and be like, actually there is a crank situation on Degrassi in season 14 episode 9. So then Craig says, look, Marco, we're gonna get back at Dylan. He says it in a weird way. I still don't know how they got to that point.
Marco says, I wish we could, I just want to get him back. And Craig goes, he has a party tonight, right? Then back, we will get him.
Yoda.
It was so weird.
Craig is Yoda.
I guess so.
So then that evening, Spinner and Jay break into Degrassi and just generally are doing some hooligan shenanigans. Yeah.
This got prompted by... Spinner saying, let's steal from Degrassi. And then we cut to them TPing the basketball hoop.
Yeah.
Like, I guess they stole TP.
Yeah. They stole some toilet paper, probably from the bathroom, and then threw it.
And then it cuts to them stacking a bunch of chairs in front of a window.
Yeah. They're little pranksters.
All right.
And so then... they go to the party. Marco and Craig go to the party. And Craig's excited to be at a college party. He's like looking around like, ooh.
He's like, whoa, there's girls here? I thought this was going to be all gay dudes.
Yeah. And Marco sees Dylan. And Dylan, in his weird sociopathic smiley way, is like, hey, Marco. And Marco's like, hi. And then Marco's like kind of warming up to the idea of... because he's like, it's one of those situations where it's like he doesn't want to lose Dylan because he loves him so much, and then he's like, well, maybe I could be open for him, but like it's clearly just like the dick goggles on his eyes being like, but I just love him so much, like I could never let go of him.
And those were a really surprising prop.
The dick goggles. And Marco tells Craig, like, hey, like, I think everything's okay now. If you want to leave, you can leave. And Craig's like, first of all, why would I want to leave a college party? Second of all, it's almost 8 o'clock. Your thing is going to come on the news. And so then they turn on the TV and we find, and Marco's so excited for his hard hitting journalism to hit the airwaves. And then they watch it and it's literally just like Caitlin interviewing Miss Hatzilakos, Miss Hatzilakos saying Marco's the best president, and Marco being like, thanks. And then that's the end. Mm-hmm. And Marco's like, but and then he turns to Dylan and he's like, no, but like, they wouldn't let me donate blood. And so then I,
and Dylan's like, uh-huh, cool.
and so he's like mad that they cut his story.
Yeah.
And then the best line of the episode happens. No, the second best line of the episode happens. Mm. Because that's when Eric comes up with the little science beaker.
He's got these long tubes of alcohol, I guess. Mm-hmm.
And he goes, Dylan, we're toasting the summer with kamikazes. And
what does toasting the summer mean?
It means that they're like excited for the summer coming up.
What? Like, have you ever given a toast for like, hey, in a couple of weeks or months it'll be summer?
Yes. I mean, I haven't because I'm lame, but I understand.
I don't understand.
It's like we're toasting to the end of the school year.
Okay.
That's like exactly what he's saying.
Okay. I guess I wanted to pick this, but it didn't make any sense to me.
It's just such a great, stupid line.
It was very stupid.
And Marco goes, you know what, Craig? I should make Dylan jealous because he sees that Dylan has left him for Eric.
And I want to point out that at that moment I said, kiss Craig.
Yeah, you said, is he going to kiss Craig? And I went, they're going through the yearbooks and Jay's making fun of it. He's like, oh yeah, stupid yearbooks, stupid kids.
I'm not
kids.
Even in here.
Stupid kids having stupid fun. But then Spinner's looking through it and he's all over that thing. Mm-hmm. He's all in the yearbook.
So
at the car wash with his friends. He sees Paige in there and he's like, I miss my friends. And you were like, how is he even in this so much? And I was like, well, they probably printed the yearbook like way earlier than he got expelled.
I know, but even when he was friends with everybody, he still sucked. Like,
he was popular. He was still in the popular crowd.
Meh.
Like, we must remember, the grade 11s are lame.
Jimmy and Paige are cool.
Yeah.
Whoa, Jimmy Page.
Jimmy Page. That's a person.
Yeah, Led Zeppelin guitarist.
Oh.
But yeah, I see what you're saying.
Like, they're like, grade 11 doesn't have much going for them. If that's true. Those are their most popular kids.
Yeah. It must have been really hard to pick superlatives for grade 11.
Mm-hmm.
Most likely to succeed.
Paige.
I don't know one, I guess.
most likely to succeed. Should we vote for the girl who, like, crashed somebody's car, or should we vote for the girl who once took ecstasy and ruined all of her relationships? So then we go back to the party. Marco meets a guy, Mike. Now, Marco, Mike, why would they do that?
I don't know. Also, I mean, I know it's like, I know it's like Dylan's party, so the chances of a guy being gay are a little higher, but he goes up to the first guy he sees and is like, you want to fuck me? And the guy's like, oh.
I think all the guys there are gay, actually.
Oh, really? That's the idea?
I mean, it was kind of, it feels implied.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought it was like a whole dorm party.
Maybe.
Because there were so many girls there.
Yeah. But it seemed like a girls and gays party.
Oh, okay.
Maybe. Okay.
I didn't catch that vibe.
That's just my read on it. But Marco tries to flirt with this guy, and Marco's bad at flirting because he's only ever dated Dylan. And he's like, I've only ever seen one room here, and that's Dylan's. Can I see your room? And Mike's like, I mean, yeah, in about 15 minutes. Let me just go clean up first. And Marco's like, cool. And I'm like, when he says clean up, does he mean he's going to douche?
I was wondering that too, but then I was like, no, wait, he probably has to clean his room.
Yeah, he definitely has to clean his room, but he also has to clean his room, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, he's got to wash that dick.
And his butthole.
Oh, yeah, I know. But you already said douche, so I was taking it elsewhere.
If anyone looked at Marco and assumed he was the top. There are a couple, like, now that Marco and Dylan are broken up, like, I can say that Marco has other relationships on the show. And there are a couple of those guys that I could see bottoming for Marco, but not very many of them. So then Spinner is mad about the yearbooks, and he wants to destroy them. He wants them dead. He wants no memories of
He's
this year.
Decided that the best course of action is to take some fluid of the lighter kind, which
your face right now.
I mean, what a line.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you read writing and you think to yourself, Hemingway, Shakespeare, other good writer. And then sometimes you read something and you're like, did J.K. Rowling write this bullshit? Because this is terrible.
Stephanie Meyer, what are you doing here?
And this was that, unfortunately.
Now, we don't mean to say that woman writers are worse than male writers. Because you named Shakespeare and Hemingway as good writers. Then
Shakespeare was a woman.
I hate you.
It's possible, though.
Is it?
We don't know who Shakespeare was. Remember, have you read the theories that Shakespeare might have been like multiple people under one pen name?
Yeah, I have read those.
And the chances are very high that one of those multiple people was a woman.
Okay.
This is a real theory that I do believe in, and it wasn't me just joking out of something, but it would have been a pretty good way to joke out of it, too.
Yeah.
It
was. He doesn't light anything.
Let's go back to this for just a second. You said Stephanie Meyer. I just wanted to do a slam on J.K. Rowling.
But you can't tell she's a TERF just from her prose.
No, but her writing isn't good either.
I never read Harry Potter. I don't know.
I mean, look, her one Asian character was Cho Chang.
Yeah, that's true.
We don't have to get into J.K. on the show. I'm sorry. But any opportunity to sideswipe her is worth it.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
Anyway,
Spinner pours the lighter fluid on the yearbooks, and he pulls out a lighter. And Jay is like, "Whoa, what the fuck?" And Spinner's like, "We're gonna get rid of these yearbooks. We're gonna fucking do it." And then Jay is like, "Dude, no, I don't want to go to jail."
Yeah, he's like, "Do you not understand the math here?
Yeah,
if you take a lighter and a bunch of lighter fluid and a bunch of books, you burn the whole school down."
And Spinner's like, "So?"
Yeah. Spinner's like, "Yeah, that's the idea, dude."
And then Jay goes, "Do you want all your old friends to suffer?" That's the one part that's like, okay, that's maybe not something Jay would say.
It didn't make any sense to me.
He goes, "Do you want all your old friends to suffer?" And Spinner's like, "No, I want them back. I want them back." And Jay's like, "Well, as your what does he call himself?
Substitute friend.
I keep wanting to say interim. As your substitute friend, this is not the way." And I was like, see, that seemed like a normal thing that anybody would say, even if they are Jay. But that first part maybe is like a little weird.
I didn't think this is not the way is either.
Like this is very good not, either.
But yeah,
it's just a cliche.
Yeah.
And then Spinner finally is like, realizing the error of his ways, and it's like, you know what, that's crazy. I was about to light the school on fire. And do you remember a couple episodes ago you said, are they gonna light the school on fire?
Yeah.
And I almost always forget that they actually don't. Like, for some reason I always imagine that they did.
Oh really?
I don't know why. Like,
interesting.
Like they light like a small fire in the school or something. And then I have no idea why. I mean,
it just seems like something Jay would do.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it's weird to see him stopping it.
Yeah.
He seems like such a pyromaniac. You
know? Yeah.
He just has that vibe.
Yeah, I see that. He just has the vibe of a pyromaniac. So then, this is the actual best line in the episode. We go back to the party, and Marco and Craig are in the stairwell. And Craig is telling him, like, dude, you're the best guy I know. Like, am I helping you feel better? Like, please, I love you. And Marco's like, nah, if you want me to feel better, just tell me I'm an idiot. And Craig goes, you're an idiot? I don't know. And so then Marco's like, I just don't know what to do. Like, Dylan, I want to make him jealous, but I don't want to hook up with that guy. Like, why did I do that? And then Dylan walks into the stairwell and he's like, hey, Marco. And then Marco's like, and he kisses Craig right on the mouth, right on the mouth, as they say in Canada. And The look on Craig's face is so funny. And then the look on Dylan's face is also really funny. Yeah. Where he's like, okay, what the fuck?
He immediately sees through it.
He's like, there's no way that this was real. I'm just going to leave. And then Marco's like, and Craig's like, when and don't you kiss Craig? And Marco's like, and he's like, I should go fix this with Dylan. And Craig's like, yeah, go do that.
And then Craig stares, like, he like wipes his mouth like it was like on fire, and then stares into the distance like he's like, wait a minute, did I like that?
Am I gay? Oh, bisexual Craig is actually something we've talked about on this show or on this podcast with other friends.
Oh.
And we think it should have happened. Mm-hmm. Bisexual Craig makes sense. I think if Craig existed in 2024, he would definitely be bisexual.
I think so too. That's right.
But
I imagine there aren't a lot of, if there are any bisexual men.
There is one that I can think of, but there is one, and he is actually a lot like Craig.
Mm.
So that is interesting. But yeah, like when in doubt, you kiss Craig was actually my friend Alicia, her Tumblr, like the title of her Tumblr page for years. If not still that, it might still be that.
That's funny.
But so then Marco follows Dylan and he's like, I don't want to have an open relationship. I want to stay monogamous. And Dylan's like, well, I don't want to stay monogamous. I want my freedom. And then they're like, well, I guess we just aren't going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
And then Marco has to walk outside and get some air. And he walks past Craig and Craig's like, what happened? And then Marco's like, Marco, Dylan and Marco, Darko.
Donnie Darko.
Donnie Darko. So then I thought that was the end of the episode.
I did too. It was like not. The end.
Yeah. Spinner comes back to Ms. Hadzilakos and he's like, okay, first of all, Jay had said in the previous scene, we need to clean all this up. And I'm like, just like wipe down all of the literal books that you poured liquid onto. Yeah,
you'd think for sure what he meant by that was the books and the lighter fluid. But no, he then goes over to the chairs and starts unstacking them.
Oh, yeah. Like, this was a fun prank, but we can't let this continue.
I think Jay in that moment was like, holy shit, we almost like really did a felony.
Yeah.
We gotta not have been here.
Yeah. And so somehow they were not caught at all.
Yeah.
Spinner goes to Ms. Hatzilakos' office and he's like, look, I want to do this whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. He doesn't say it, but what I just said it. Mm-hmm. He's like, whatever it takes, I want to come back to school.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, summer school? And he's like, summer school. So that means that Spinner is not going to be a senior next year, basically.
That's right.
Sad.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Well, probably shouldn't have been such a bully.
Yeah. That's what happens.
I mean, I would say that a lot of that stuff was not directly in his control.
Mm-hmm.
So I do feel bad for him to an extent. But like, you fall in with Jay, you know what's happening.
Yep.
You know? Like,
yeah.
That, yeah.
Yeah. So then we go to Caitlin's studio, the Ryan's Planet studio, if you will. And Marco shows up and he thanks her for the story. And first of all, how'd he get in there?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess she's not, it's not like a big studio. Like, it's probably like network cable, like.
Still, to have no security.
Yeah.
Or maybe they recognize him from the story or something.
Or maybe they called her. Maybe he came up to the thing and they were like, Caitlin, there's a kid named Marco Del Rossi here for you. And she was like, oh yeah, let him up or something. Yeah. I don't know. But it was just like, he just walked in.
I like that we asked the question, how did he get in there? And the answer is like, well, he probably just asked.
Yeah. He's a nice kid. They probably were like, oh yeah.
Nice and familiar to people.
Yeah. He comes in, he thanks her for the story she did, but asks like, is the other part of the story going to be aired another time? Mm-hmm. Or, and Caitlin's like, no, people don't want it to see the light of day. Meaning Ms. Hatzilakos probably doesn't. And the nurse.
Network.
Yeah. And the network.
Yeah.
Probably didn't want it.
Cause she said people here. So she definitely meant the network.
Yeah. And she doesn't support that at all. She's like, I want to be able to tell these more hard hitting stories. And I'm mad that HIV is still so stigmatized toward the gay community when it's an everywhere issue.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I even went to Africa about that stuff last year. And Marco's like, well, damn. And she's like, hey, if you want to like come with me this summer and take a look at it over there. And, you know, we're going to report on it some more. You want to be my intern? She doesn't, they never say what it is, but it's like a co-op.
I thought was, she was like, do you want to talk to the people who I work with and just like get to know what's up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah. And she's like, okay, well, it'll mean giving up your entire summer. And he, as we know, he had the plan to go to get some college credits during the summer. But he's like, you know, I had plans, but you know what they say about plans. They change.
And I'm like, dude, you could have just said, no, I don't have plans. Like, what do you...
You know what they say about plans. No, what do they say about plans, Marco? And then that's the end of the episode.
Yeah.
How did you feel about it?
Yeah, more positive than I thought I would when it started down the path it was going down. Because, I was apprehensive about the HIV blood stuff
and
the promiscuity in a gay couple being... like side by side like that, but I feel like outside of just the fact that those two things were put side by side, they didn't make it weird in the episode, so that was okay.
Yeah.
And then the B plot, I do just not like Jay, but there were fun moments in it.
Yeah, I really like this episode. This is one of those like sneakier ones that I don't really think of having liked much in the past, but then like watching it this time and kind of seeing how they interweave the issue of the blood drive with the issue of Marco's relationship with Dylan, I thought was kind of interesting. Problematic now that you say what you said, but I still like the way that they were able to give one character basically two plots side by side, which I thought was really cool. It's one of those kind of when it rains, it pours situations. And I do like the B plot. I think I'm just such a sucker for male friendships. And I love Jay's weird ones. I love Jay's weird, like Emperor Palpatine, type friendships where he's like, look, I'm a bad guy and you're a good guy, but like with in bad guy cosplay. So until you become like an actual good guy, you're stuck with me, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah. There is something to that, but it just, I don't know.
And he like just never loses that confidence. Like he's like never like scared that he's ever going to lose his friends. He's always like, I'm here and you're never going to leave me. So sucks to suck.
And yet they all do leave him.
They do. They
I mean,
do.
I don't know what happens with Spinner, yeah, obviously, but Seth? No, that's not right.
Sean,
thank you. Sean is like, I can't. I don't want to be friends with you. I want to be friends with my mom.
Well, Sean leaves a little different physically, but he and Jay are like still friends.
Are they?
Yeah, he never told him that he's no longer his friend.
You think they still talk?
I know for a fact that they do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well. fine.
So, what would you rate this episode?
I'll give this episode 3.5 out of 5 book burnings.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was also going to choose something related to the burning of the yearbooks. I think
mine if you want.
Nope. We're good. I think I would give mine also 3.5 out of 5 stairwell kisses.
Aww.
Yeah. So where do you think this plot's going to go?
Well, I guess we're going to see some of Spinner doing like prep for summer school, maybe. I don't know. I mean, we probably won't see the summer, right? Because we see the school year. That's
right.
The whole thing. But yeah, we'll probably see a little more of Spinner, like trying Spinner's redemption tour, I guess. Because, I guess he's made up with the school now, but he hasn't made up with his friends. So I have to try and do that. Really excited for Jay to steal that bus and be in that crank situation. And then Margo's going to date around a little bit, I hope.
Okay.
I don't know that there's that many gay options at school, but I'm sure we'll meet them all.
Gay options. Yeah. Okay. All right. So the next episode is called West End Girls. That's season 4, episode 20.
Okay.
West End Girls. Now, I'm debating who I should give you as our main player because it is like kind of a different type of episode.
Okay.
Okay. Our main player is Paige-ish. Okay. Half Paige and somebody else. But also, we have a special guest star in this episode who will be prominent in this episode and the two following episodes, the two last episodes of the season, like the two-parter, and also some episodes in season 5.
Oh, interesting.
Do you want to know who the guest star is?
Of course.
It is Kevin Smith.
Oh, hockey jersey man.
Yeah.
Okay, Clerks man.
Yeah.
Silent Bob himself.
Yep. Okay. And Jason Mewes is also there. So
I don't know who that
Jay.
Is. Jay. Oh, Jay. Okay. Yeah. That's funny. I just fully don't know who Jay is.
Yeah. Jay and Silent Bob. There's a second person there. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Interesting. Wow. Okay.
I know. It's such a weird...
No. Okay. I think I know what happens. Paige and Manny are in... They're trying to reconcile their differences, and they're assigned to write a musical together in therapy. That's their therapy
That's
assignment.
That's a crazy assignment, but okay.
To write a musical together, and they're like, okay, fine. We'll write... Because West End Girls, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So they decide to write a musical about... how easy it is to fall into hate when you're keeping each other's when you're keeping secrets from each other, and they know that they don't want to trust anyone who's directed a show at Degrassi with this job, because obviously when Liberty and JT tried to direct it sucked. So they hire an outside director named Kevin Smith.
Okay.
Who's had some success in movies. Okay. He's had some success in the movie industry, but he's never really done a musical before. So he decides to take a big bite of it. But unfortunately, because it is Kevin Smith, he puts himself in it as a silent character. Jay and Silent Bob are in the musical, and it's very uncomfortable because they just don't fit.
Okay. Do you have any other... theories?
Honestly, I have no fucking clue what it could be.
I mean, given what I've given you,
yeah,
I would say maybe go the easiest possible way.
Okay. Spinner's trying to make... Spinner and Paige are... Paige is trying to... Paige and Spinner are like kind of trying to get back to being okay with each other.
Okay.
And Kevin Smith keeps shopping at the Dot and giving Spinner bad advice.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. How do you get Kevin Smith into Degrassi?
I mean, I would say in the easiest way possible, but okay.
Oh, he's like there speaking at an assembly? Guest teaching media immersion?
I don't know.
He's friends. No. Oh, wait. Does he teach at fucking Pedophiles College?
What? How is that the easiest way?
I don't know.
No.
Okay. I don't know. Yeah. Okay. I'm going with what I went with.
Funnily enough, though, I said he comes back in season 5. He and Jason Mewes also come back in season 8. Mm. And weirdly enough, it's the same episode where Jay drives the school bus.
No way. It is a crank situation. And Jay and Silent Bob are on the bus.
It is not.
Okay.
But, and it also has to do with college. So, like, you kind of, like, went, you've it's like playing ping pong, you know? You didn't hit the goal, but you've hit some points along the way.
Yeah, which I guess is what you try to do in ping pong.
Yeah. No, isn't that it? You, like... hit the things and you get points with all the things you hit.
What are you talking about? Ping pong is table tennis.
Ping pong is table tennis. What am I thinking of? Pinball.
Uh, Can you imagine if The Who wrote the song Ping Pong Wizard?
Do you know The Who's Tommy, like the musical, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, I was about to say, like, so many people think that they just wrote Pinball Wizard, like,
No, it's a musical. Yeah,
it was a concept album.
Yeah.
That was then turned into a musical.
Yeah,
and the musical is about to be back on Broadway.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's bad. It's fine. It's weird, but it's fine. I'm curious now that I'm thinking about it. I'm curious what they're gonna. Are they gonna get like flack for not? I'm assuming having an actual disabled person in the role of Tommy.
You know, we're jumping to a conclusion that they won't, but also
I'm assuming
probably,
they won't because I haven't heard any of the casting news. Hmm. I'll find out.
Okay.
But anyway, good predictions.
Thank
good
you.
Predictions.
I'll have a third one next episode.
Yeah. I guess based on this episode, season 4, episode 19. Moonlight Desires. Are you a Degrassi fan?
Well, okay. The last few episodes have had me sliding further and further away from being a Degrassi fan, mm-hmm. but this one was kind of like a stabilizer where I'm like, okay, it's not all bad.
Yeah.
It definitely didn't shift me back towards fandom, but it stopped the slide. Like one of those nets that they put in under all the bridges in Japan,
mm-hmm.
so you can't jump to your death. Like I was on my way to my death, but a net caught me.
Okay.
And death obviously being not a Degrassi fan. Mm-hmm. 'Cause it would be better to die than not be a Degrassi. I don't know. I don't cut that. I know we're not cutting anything. But yeah, so no, but this was better.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. You have any questions for me?
I do. So having dealt with me kind of like towing the line in this episode where we weren't planning on editing anything, but successfully not forcing you to cut anything I said.
Yeah. Good job.
Do you still love me?
Of course, because you made it so easy for me to edit this episode.
You're welcome.
I love you.
I love you too.
All right. Where can the people find you on social media?
I'm at Ezra Partier on Instagram, and you can follow the Daily Misinformer or Public Breakup or Headbutt Comedy on Instagram for all the various things I do. And if you're in the Montreal area, which is possible because this is a show about Canada.
Mm-hmm. Canadian television.
Canadian television, yeah. No, I think this is real life Canada. Public Breakup is going to be in the Montreal Sketch Fest the first weekend of May. So come through if you're in Montreal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can find me at OMG It's Key on Instagram and TikTok. You can find the podcast at Cuckoo Bananas Podcast on Instagram. Or you can email us at cuckoobananaspodcast@gmail.com. Well, we're nearing the end of season 4.
Yay!
I'm so excited. We only have 2 episodes to record. Whew. 3 episodes to watch. To wash. 3 episodes to watch and 2 episodes to record. So that's exciting.
That is exciting.
And yeah, so I'll see you back here next week.
All right. I'll also see you tomorrow.
And immediately after this.
We'll see you in like 5 minutes.
And in 20 seconds.
Well, I was going to close my eyes.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you guys for listening. Bye-bye.